Hello, friends. On today's show, we go swimming where we couldn't, make pots with stuff we threw away, we make stairs for kitties and found a baby otter where he really shouldn't be. And yes, I realize that sounds like a poem, but it really is not. But that's coming up. Jessica, could you please give us the intro?
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share? Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
Oh, so no, excited. Not again.
It's time, Doug.
And you just can't help
it. Oh,
it's,
no.
It's time, Doug.
You're doing the Malorca shot?
Yes. Malort. Malort.
Malort.
Made with wormwood.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good. We got an absolute adjacent.
So there is, yeah. It's not going to be fun. This is not going to be fun, Doug.
It feels like rubbing alcohol.
I go to the bar.
Yes.
I step up. We're here at the Aristocrat, and I see Jell-O shots, and I was like, Jell-O shots? And they go, oh yeah, we have cherry and Malort, and I was like, I need Malort. Get Malort.
Why go pedestrian?
Because, right? And he goes, why do you want Malort? I said, because I hate myself. That's why. And so now
I was bad this week, and I need to be punished.
We need more content for our show. So
yeah, the owner of the bar came over and told us we're crazy.
Yes.
So that's a bad sign.
So now Doug and I are going to attempt Malort.
Enjoy.
Doug.
Here we go.
I love you, and I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah, it was nice knowing
you. Yep.
It does taste like rubbing alcohol.
Oh, man. You would think it was turpentine.
It's okay, except for that ridiculously side of the mouth, something is wrong, bitter aftertaste.
It's got a little bit of unleaded gasoline in it.
Yeah.
Your taste buds just were not ready for a Malort.
Well, you can really taste the wormwood.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Fuck did you do to
and
me,
it's
Brett?
Like, and there's like a bitter orange peel aftertaste.
Oh, I love that. Mm. I love that for you.
So that being said,
yeah.
A little bit of battery acid.
Yep, there we go. You are listening to Two Beers In, a show where we make questionable judgmental calls on alcohol and tell positive stories. Hi. I'm your host, Brett Weaver, and we are here at the Aristocrat Lounge. Now I will enjoy the frozen pool drink. And there's my friend over there.
Hey, I'm Monica, your co-host. I was the sane one. I just went in and asked the bartender, make me one of those rum punches you do so well.
Yes.
And I am delightfully enjoying that. And oh, look at this.
And look, it's my friend Doug.
And I had a Hellas IPA and Brett's poison.
Yes, and now we're poisoned. It's like Romeo and Romeo.
Yay. Wait.
What?
So more like Bromeo.
Clearly, you like her better.
We've got four mostly water-based stories today.
Because it's hot as all get out.
It is. It is. In fact, I made the joke when I walked into the bartender when I came in. I said, "I'm. It's so hot out there. I'm becoming more Cajun." And he goes, "What?" I go, "May it's hot out there. Yeah, I tell you." Ah, got a sheen on me, and I need something to drink. So anyway.
I'm glad we decided not to sit outside.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
If you would have said that, I would have been like, hey, Brett, let's sit outside, and I would just give you a long look.
The show is canceled.
Are you so you are a part of the mostly silly party, I can
yes,
tell.
Yes, right.
Oh, wait, no politics.
The surprise party.
It didn't narrow it down.
The surprise party.
Slightly silly party. Let us start with the first story, which is as you do in such cases.
Yes.
Do you want me to do it or you want to do it?
I'll take it.
Okay.
All right.
And the way I was doing, just as I was trying to shorten up each paragraph as much as I could. So I was just letting you know.
Well, what I like about this site is that it's not, it doesn't go on for pages.
No.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Next time you visit Paris, you might want to pack your swimwear.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in more than a century, the once polluted River Seine is swimmable again.
What?
Following a year's worth cleanup and a long overdue upgrade to the sewage system.
You know, right after the Olympics.
Yeah, I was going to say. They spent like a year and a half before the Olympics trying to make it work.
And they're like, didn't make it.
Couldn't quite make it.
No. It's like, oh, he fell it. Well, no.
Oh. Give him a medal, God's sake.
Yeah.
When you pull him out, give him a shot.
Hey, look, he has gills. Oh, no.
Malloy. No. The long-awaited return of swimming to the Seine marks a major turnaround for the iconic river, which has also seen a revival of local wildlife.
Ooh.
But Paris is not alone in revitalizing its waterway. Copenhagen, Denmark. After successfully evolving into a cycling city in the 1990s, Copenhagen set its sights on becoming a year-round destination for urban swimming. The only thing standing in its way was the toxic harbor investment
like you
in
do.
The city's plumbing and a decline in heavy industry, which soon turned the tide. And by the early 2000s, the harbor had been sufficiently cleaned up to allow for safe swimming. And swim... They do.
They do.
Oh, they do. The Danes, of course.
The Danes, they do.
Are no fair weather bathers. Even in the depths of winter, the harbor baths are busy. From Copenhagen, we go to our next swimming spot, the good folk of Oslo.
Oh, right across the way.
Yes, they don't let the city's chilly waters stop them from taking the plunge.
No.
But pollution once did. For a long time, the city's harbor was awash in toxic swill.
Sure.
From the city's now defunct shipbuilding industry.
Damn.
That's a different story. That changed with a port redevelopment and river cleanup dubbed Fjord City. That made its waters swimmable again.
We got to get you into a fjord.
Yeah.
Why on earth would anybody at that latitude want to swim?
It brought beaches and diving towers to the inner harbor. Do not dive from the towers in the winter. That's
no.
all I can say.
No.
This being Scandinavia, saunas have inevitably popped up beside the water, providing a welcome, warm contrast to the icy waters in winter.
I see them wearing the 1920s men's bathing suits.
Yeah,
that's the way I see it.
Once the world's busiest port, Rotterdam, was one of the last places you'd want to go wild swimming in Europe, but not anymore.
Not anymore.
The port now largely relocated out of town, and the city has charted an admirable course towards cleaning up the maws.
That one surprises me. Yeah. Rotterdam was big.
Yeah.
That must have been a hell of a cleanup.
Urban wetlands have been created along its banks in an attempt to bring wildlife back. While the old dockyard at Ringhaven, the J is silent.
I think so.
Okay. Has been reimagined as a tree-lined urban beach to improve access to wild spaces for people living in the inner city. Since last year, the water has been clean enough to swim in.
Yay.
The old dockyard at Ringhaven has been reimagined as a tree-lined urban beach to improve access to wild spaces. And let's see. Finally, we have Basel, Switzerland.
Yes.
In 1986, the River Rhine turned a terrible red following a disastrous chemical spill, devastating wildlife and horrifying locals.
I'm horrified.
Is it not chocolate?
Why is it red?
It killed Kitty.
This is not like the blood of my enemies.
The people now bathe in the same stretch of river as a welcome reminder of nature's capacity to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's still a busy commercial route, the Rhine is clean enough to swim in Basel, and many locals do. Bathing houses along the banks offer changing rooms, showers, and sun terraces to top off tans.
Oh, Lord.
It's not the only Swiss city to bring urban swimming back. Bern, Geneva, and Zurich have also done so.
And Amsterdam.
But we're talking about Switzerland.
Oh, Switzerland. Sorry. Yes.
Amsterdam, Switzerland's amazing.
Try and keep up.
Sorry. Yep. It's a lot of swimming.
It's a lot of swimming.
It's a lot of water.
Yep. I know in the early 60s, one of the shipmates on a vessel in the Volga threw his cigarette overboard and it caught the river on fire.
Sure.
And he got charged with manslaughter for all the people that died.
Oh, no.
That's embarrassing.
He's like, he goes, I just want to tell everybody, smoking kills.
Yeah, right.
Well, they did the same. I mean, you could do the same thing in cities in the Northeast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Lake Erie caught
Lake
fire
Erie,
a couple
yes.
of times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody died in that one. I know the Volga one was a massacre.
Yeah.
I kind of want to. Swimming at the time? That could be, wow.
Well, I think that one of the ships caught fire.
That's a Sci-Fi Channel movie there.
Yep.
It's, you know, Rivernado.
I kind of want
to. I don't think anybody swung in those rivers.
Skip that one. Go right to the other water-based one.
I want to come back.
Yes.
I want to come back to it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I want to skip to this third one because it is.
Yeah, it's related.
Yes.
Wade on in then, good sir.
Concerned
I like
about
what you did there.
Doug, you're a cat hater, so you'll enjoy this story. Concerned about the number of cats drowning in canals, you know, Doug?
I didn't drown them.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Two cities in the Netherlands are installing miniature staircases to help felines climb to safety.
Get into the water and out again?
Yep. The initiative began when the animal welfare organization, Party for the Animals, noticed a high number of drowned cats in Amsterdam's canals. That was when Doug was visiting there.
Oh.
So okay. That's the connection.
Wait, what's happening now?
The party.
How did I get in this?
I don't know, Doug. How did you? The party's leader, Judith Crom, identified an unused 100,000 euro fund in the city's budget and proposed using it to build cat escape routes.
I thought you said 100,000 year old.
Yes, that too.
That's Mel Brooks.
It's been around for a long time.
Like, wait, what?
The plan, supported by animal rights counselor Zita Pels, was approved by the Amsterdam City Council on July 10th. Crom emphasized that this simple measure can prevent enormous animal suffering and shows the city's commitment to protecting animal wildlife. The Amsterdam government is partnering with we are.
Yep.
Dear an ambulance.
Dear an ambulance.
Dear an ambulance. Amsterdam, another welfare group. You see, I'm having more trouble saying welfare than anything. to determine the most frequent spots where the cats fall into the water. By the end of the year, there could be over 500 of these tiny staircases installed along the canals. These staircases will be placed in the areas where they're most needed. So, and then also, Amersfoort, a city 31 miles southeast of Amsterdam, is also actively participating in this life-saving initiative. The municipality plans to build hundreds of these tiny staircases every year. For those wanting to see these unique features, Amersfoort is likely the best place to go.
Hey, you know what would really save a lot of these cats? If you took them out of the sack first.
Yeah, that's... Oh, Doug. He sounds like someone
friends.
Who has experience knowing about such
yes.
things.
I don't know what you're talking
Again,
about.
When that, were you in
that,
Amsterdam?
That yeah. dog would be letting the cat out of the bag.
Yes.
Now let's go back to the second one.
Okay. A Glasgow-based startup is transforming discarded fishing gear into elegant origami-inspired planters, offering a second life to ocean waste. These ocean pots by POTR
Potter
are claimed to be are claimed to be the world's first planters made from traceable marine plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Each pot features a scannable QR code providing data on when and where the ghost net used to create it was recovered, fostering transparency and encouraging conversations about marine conservation.
Mm-hmm.
They have established a UK supply chain collaborating with Cornish marine waste specialist Waterhaul, who recover and shred the fishing nets. The reclaimed plastic is then pelletized, pressed into sheets, and die cut in Edinburgh. The localized approach ensures a sustainability production process for the innovative planters.
Yay!
Discarding fishing and aquaculture gear poses a significant threat to marine ecosystems, with a study by DEFRA indicating that the industry in Scotland and England generates about 6,000 tons, and that's with an ES.
Yes,
tons of plastic waste annually, which ends up polluting the seas and shorelines. Every ton of recovered plastic yields 5,000 ocean pots, and they donate 4% of its profits to cleanup efforts. The pot's unique origami-inspired design allows them to be flat-packed for shipping, significantly reducing transport costs. They thought of everything.
They did.
This innovative approach not only tackles ocean pollution, but also offers a sustainable and efficient product.
Thank you, not IKEA.
Yay!
Yeah. That's neat.
Yes.
And it cleans up plastics, and it does all the things.
It does all the things.
If only we could do more of that in the Gulf of Mexico.
I'm beginning to wonder if you invent the time machine, don't go back and kill Hitler. Just get that guy in The Graduate that says get into plastics.
Yes. Yeah. Just one word.
William Daniels.
Plastics.
Yeah. You knew it?
William Daniels, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Feeney?
Mr. Feeney. John Adams.
Yeah.
He's obnoxious and disliked.
We love Mr. Feeney. On to the last story.
Yes.
In a puzzling discovery at a zoo in England, a wild otter cub was found sleeping peacefully. The end. Inside a flamingo habitat. How did this get there? Let's read on. The tiny orphan, now named Mingo, weighed less than 2 pounds and was estimated to be only a few months old. Judy Bedford, a staff member at the Colchester Zoo, found Mingo snoring his head off on the bank of the main lake. After they're like, what's that amongst the flamingos? I think it's an otter.
It's snoring.
And it's snoring. I can hear it from here. After waiting to see if his mother would return, the zoo staff realized the cub was alone. As otters typically stay with their mothers for about a year, it was unusual to find a pup so young alone in the open. Following the discovery, Mingo was taken to Wild Lives Rescue in Colchester before being transferred to the UK Wild Otter Trust in North Devon. And I know that their comeback, like this is a recent comeback, much like what's been going on around Central Texas as well. Well, I'll finish this up. Following the discovery, Mingo was gay. Yeah, we said right. Experts there are still baffled as to how the cub ended up in the flamingo enclosure, calling it a total mystery.
You know what I think?
What?
Aliens.
Yeah. That's the only
I'm not
possible.
Saying it's aliens.
But it was aliens.
It was aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
Not everything in this sack is a cat.
Yeah. I know that the wild river otters that have been around Central Texas are now as far up as the Colorado River, just on the other side of Longhorn Dam.
How'd they get over the dam?
Well, no, they're coming. They're coming up.
They're coming up.
They're coming. Yeah, it's not the other way.
So is it like salmon? Do they jump up the river?
I guess.
They do it in a cute way and eat crawfish. Yeah. I know
and
that.
Snore.
And they snore. And there's a lot of snoring.
CPAP otters.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. I wonder if they build I wonder if they do an otter ladder.
Or a staircase.
Yep.
Tiny little staircase.
Yep.
For the otters.
And the cats were like, the cats are like,
hey,
that's mine.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, go drown. Go drown, you cat. Doug's right over there. You know how you can keep from having cats drowned?
Uh-oh.
By going to patreon.com/twobeersin.
That was a... Wow, that transition needed a little tiny staircase.
Segway crash.
How dare you? I usually throw it to you, and I was trying it on my own.
Yep.
There,
back to Monica.
There you can get an extra episode every week. Where
Who
we
would
talk
want
about,
that?
Communists.
That's, yes. Yeah.
Yep.
People who drown cats.
Yeah, Doug.
What the hell? What is happening?
He's like, why? You're here, buddy.
Why?
I had Malort. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, didn't give even me gasoline.
He didn't weep.
So you can do that. Sign up. We appreciate you. You can also email us at twobeersin@weightlesspod.com, where you can also use that address to give us money through PayPal or Venmo.
Feed us.
That's right.
Feed us, Seymour.
Monica has given me a song to play, and we're going to actually talk about this in the Patreon.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm just saying that to people who...
Yeah, that's right. It's another reason
to
latch on to the Patreon.
Yep.
You get to hear all the backstory.
That's right.
Join us.
All the sordid details.
Yep. About that show. do you want to talk about this? Or do you want me to? Because I've got stuff written down.
You go ahead. I can colorize.
Sure. Monica had suggested, and I downloaded and put into the button over there, Kevin Rowland and Dexy's Midnight Runners. The song
is... It's not.
Come on, Ali.
It is not.
It's not. Which I got in trouble with Monica. Because she said, come on, Eileen. And I said, yes, but where on Eileen?
Yes, right.
And I said, great. Now I can never listen to that song again. Kind of like how the morning show that I worked for ruined Fleetwood Mac's song by doing a parody called You Can Grow Your Own Hay.
No.
Now I can't listen to that anymore.
Thank you. Thank you, Weird Al. The song is Jackie Wilson Said. Not the one by
Van Morrison, which I actually went to look for.
Yes.
And then this came up, and I was like,
I like this one too.
Let's see how this sounds.
And this is the Top of the Pops recording. The most famous story associated with Dexy's Midnight Runners version of this song was when the band performed the song on the popular British show Top of the Pops. A large photo of Scottish darts player Jackie Wilson was displayed on the screen behind them for years. People assumed that this was a mistake by the show's producers, who were believed to have confused the darts player with the soul singer. However, Kevin Rowland revealed later that the mistake was actually his idea, done as a joke to amuse himself with his band. The producers had warned him that people would think it was a mistake, but he persisted, leading to one of the most memorable and bizarre moments in the show's history. I don't know, Top of the Pops has had some weird moments on it.
Yeah.
That being said, if you did make that mistake, would you admit that mistake, or would you come up with a cool story?
True. Yeah, no, I think it would be.
You remember John Lennon and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
Yeah.
It was my intern.
Yeah.
I asked my intern to get a photo of Jackie
Wilson. You see, but you're talking to the wrong person, because for me, if I did something stupid, I'm like, let me tell you about this stupid thing that I did the other day. It was hilarious.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yes. So here comes Dexy's Midnight Runners. Not that song, but the other song.
That's right.
But before I push this button here, I have been your host, Brett Weaver.
With an empty glass.
With an empty glass and a full heart.
Oh.
And there's Monica.
Hey. I'm halfway through my rum punch right here. Enjoying it greatly. And
I'm almost done with my second beer in of Hellas and my gasoline that Brett fed me.
Yay! So thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Enjoy.